You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May 5th, 2020. No, I'm not hit Cinco de Mayo early with tequila. I just went south for a moment. Not that far south. Anyway, we are now four days after Joe Biden said, I'll make a public request for the Secretary of Senate to search through all the records from 93 on any complaint filed against me by Tara Reid. Still nothing opened up. Nothing's been released. And in fact, the Secretary of the Senate says, we have no discretion to disclose these information or records Biden asked for unless you change the law. And about those private papers, the University of Delaware, which Tara Reid says might also contain information about her complaint against Biden, the university says we can't do it unless Joe Biden gives us express consent. Nope, he hasn't. Hospitals in New York City are reporting they are treating 15 children who have shown symptoms often associated with Kawasaki disease, which some link to coronavirus. The New York Times reporting that the children age 2 to 15. They're looking at is a multi-system inflammatory syndrome, and again, they think it might be linked to COVID-19. But they don't know. None of the children have died. California Governor Newsom refuses to release any details of his state's deal to buy protective masks from a Chinese car manufacturer. His office has been criticized over lack of transparency into the contract for weeks, and he's refusing the public records request from the LA Times. They want to know why did you sign off to buy these masks from a Chinese car manufacturer at a cost of $1 billion. Russia is recording the biggest daily rise of virus cases, 10,600 in one day, and 3,000 of those in the military. New survey out, Morning Consult poll, says that 61% of Democrats believe Biden when it comes to Reid. But here's a kicker for the election coming up. 25% of those Democrats surveyed say they want a new nominee. They want somebody other than Uncle Joe. And a PAC group has been formed pushing for Michelle Obama to be on the ticket with him. To be on the ticket with him. That's one step short of replacing him on that ticket. From Venezuela, the embattled leader, Nicolas Maduro, claims that they've captured 13 terrorists, including two U.S. citizens, operating as U.S. mercenaries, trying to carry out a raid against his country. No word from our State Department on what might have happened. They call it a derecho. A derecho. That's a powerful windstorm. And it swept across Tennessee, going first through some parts of southern Missouri, but mostly hitting Tennessee, the Nashville area. This is a severe complex of thunderstorms that moved right across Nashville by yesterday afternoon. Widespread straight-line wind damage across nearly every county of Middle Tennessee. Numerous trees, power lines, and buildings damaged. They're beginning at this time to start to try to clean up. California police are on a chase. They see three cars running as a convoy, and they suspect something going on. And the guys are communicating using walkie-talkies back and forth. They're giving chase, and then they see something being tossed out of one of the cars. Well, they finally stop the cars and start doing a search. And then they're getting calls about a cardboard box off the side of the roadway. Police go back and take a look at it. Inside the cardboard boxes, $915,000 U.S. currency. Yes, the canine unit did detect narcotics on the cash. Are you surprised? Surely not. $915,000 just thrown out the window because it was truly dirty money. And they did not want to be caught with it. That's their story.
Larry Connors, USA. News and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
When I was there, the Democrats finally found a cop that they liked. Unfortunately, his name was Peter Strzok, whose only interest in this investigation was if it would lead to the impeachment of Donald Trump.
The words of Trey Gowdy, former House Oversight Committee chairman. Trey Gowdy, Republican, South Carolina, has since resigned, and I wish he hadn't. I wish he was still in there, but we've got others that are doing a fine job as well. Jim Jordan of Ohio. Also, and what he's talking about is these release of these new FBI notes in the Michael Flynn investigation. This broke last week, of course. These handwritten notes written by the FBI's former head of counterintelligence, Bill Priestap, after a meeting with FBI Director James Comey and then FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, suggesting that agents plan in the alternative to get Flynn to admit to breaking the Logan Act if they could prove something on him. The idea was, what is our goal? To get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? Michael Flynn did plead guilty to a perjury charge. He says, I did it only because they were threatening to take my whole family to jail. I didn't do anything. But he had misstated something well enough that they thought we could nail him on this. And they did. And remember, they sent a couple of agents over to the White House to talk to him. Priestap, one of those agents. Now we know he was one of those who went to talk to him. And yet they came back and decided we really don't have anything. But that didn't stop them. And again, Trey Gowdy on this new evidence, this has got to be investigated fully.
there was absolutely no evidence that Michael Flynn was an agent of a foreign power. The entire time they spent looking at him in December of 2016, they had nothing. So they're about to close the investigation without even interviewing him. Keep in mind, they had no interest in interviewing Michael Flynn. They're about to close the case. Then you get the call with Kislyak. And Peter Strzok seems more interested in setting up an American general than he is figuring out what the Russian generals were doing to this country. They send two agents over there without informing the White House, without informing the Department of Justice, and they wanted to set him up. That is not the FBI that this country needs.
It's not. And on top of that, as he heard him say, they were going to close it up anyway, even after talking to Flynn, they didn't have anything. But let's start. Let's back it up a moment. When they sent them over, even James Comey has since admitted, yeah, that didn't follow protocol. And yeah, we should have notified White House counsel that we're sending a couple of agents over to talk to Michael Flynn, who at that time had just recently, under the Trump administration, taken on the job of national security advisor. And they were looking for any way they could to undo and nullify this presidency. In the first month, they were looking for anything they could to destroy it. And, of course, the Russian collusion story kind of came into part of this, as well as the issues about the dossier. And that's what they were pushing. And they did continue to push. And they got the Mueller investigation pushed through. 2+ years and all that money, nothing. And they didn't give up. They still had other cards to play. Now keep in mind, if Hillary Clinton had been elected, none of this would have happened, obviously. And if she had been elected, then they would have gotten what they wanted, and that was her, not Trump. But because she was not elected, they were looking for a way to undo it. Agent Peter Strzok had made it clear, along with his other FBI lawyer agent, Lisa Page, his lover, and he had made it very clear what we want to see done and that he should not be assuming office, and our goal will be to get him out. So then they started looking at Michael Flynn. Let's go after him. So these new notes show the whole intent to send agents to interview Flynn, January 24, 2017, and one of them even questioned in a handwritten note, what is our goal? Are we trying to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? They decided to try to get him to admit to breaking the Logan Act if they can. Now, the Logan Act, again, has never been used in a criminal prosecution, been on the books since 1799. The intent was to prevent individuals from falsely claiming they represent the U.S. government abroad. This is before telephones, so if someone showed up in some foreign country and said, I'm here on behalf of the U.S. Department, U.S. America, you know, that they could present some fake documents and no one would know because they couldn't verify it right away. So it's never been used, but they thought if we can get him on something, if we can catch him in some misstep along the way, that was the idea. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio lays out a scenario. Follow the timeline as to how things begin to develop and accelerate.
Think about what happened in 3 weeks in January of 2017. On January 3rd, Chuck Schumer on the Rachel Maddow show says this in response to a statement that President-elect Trump had said, where he said we were being spied on. Schumer says, if you mess with the intel community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. The very next day, January 4th, Trey just talked about it. Peter Strzok overrules the agents who say Mike Flynn did nothing wrong, overrules them because Comey McCabe told him to. January 6th, the FBI and other people in the intel community in the Obama administration go to Trump Tower and try to set up the president. Remember, this is where Jim Comey says, after the meeting's done, I want to talk to the president. He tells the president about the dossier. The dossier they already knew was false, they knew was Russian disinformation, and they knew was paid for by the Clinton campaign. And then just 2 weeks after that, We have the FBI going to the White House to set up Michael Flynn. All that happens in 3 weeks' time. This shows you they were out to get the president, and they were willing to do whatever it took to get him, including going after a three-star general who had served our country for three decades.
And the memos have been released. Discuss the additional FBI efforts to check some kind of information on Flynn. Even though the FBI had already decided, we found no derogatory information on him. Other government agencies did the same. So they were going to close it down. They were going to wrap it all up. There was a statement issued, a January 4 memo. The FBI is closing this investigation. They're going to close Crossfire Razor. And that same day, a word came from Agent Peter Smurf, Stroke, instructing the case manager handling it, hey, keep it open. Hey, don't close Razor. Seventh floor is involved. Seventh floor suggests top management at the FBI, which would be, above Stroke, would be Deputy Director McCabe and, of course, FBI Director Comey. They're going to close the inquiry. They've got nothing. They're going to shut it down. There's nothing there. They went over against protocol, interviewed Flynn as if kind of sitting around just, yeah, let's talk about that. Hey, did you go fishing? What do you do? Ever talk to a Russian? What kind of fish did you catch? And the Russian, when did you do that? Oh, by the way, have you fished this? I mean, they were probably all over the board of that conversation. Did not notify the White House counsel that were coming over to investigate a staff member. Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley. He was the lawyer that, of course, appeared during the Kavanaugh hearings and basically talked about some of the, when they're trying to instruct the, he's on the impeachment hearing. He's trying to instruct the members of Congress on impeachment and so forth. He said the FBI conduct regarding Flynn and this investigation were, quote, chilling. He said, I've been a criminal defense attorney for decades. I've seen abusive tactics. This is one of the most thuggish records I've seen. Most concerning is that they were trying to create a crime, not investigating a crime. The Democrats have no interest in these new papers that have been released. When they were all anxious to hold hearings and carry out inquiries, it was anything that could be done to get rid of Donald Trump. With this information out, these FBI handwritten notes, the Democrats just suddenly, they don't have any interest in any hearings. And keep in mind, the Inspector General Horowitz had weeks ago said in reviewing how the FISA court was being handled and addressed by the FBI at that time, there were numerous discrepancies, even in the Flynn investigation, but others as well, that they had a completely botched numerous FISA allegations, basically making up stuff or not backing it up, and files were missing. And he was saying at that time, you've got to get a handle on this. This is totally wrecked. The words of Congressman Jim Jordan.
Now, Mr. Horowitz is working on a broader look at FISA. And just 4 weeks ago, he sent out a memo which said he's looked at 29 cases. 29 cases, random sample, 29 cases, and there were major problems in every single one. In four of those cases, they couldn't even find the Woods file, which is the file they keep, which has the sort of basic evidence, underlying evidence that they then use to take to the court. Couldn't even find the Woods file. And what I find interesting is 2 months ago, when Chris Wray did testify, FBI Director Wray testified in front of the Judiciary Committee, he told us we could all sleep well at night. The FISA process is fine. Well, somebody's wrong here. Either Christopher Wray's wrong when he said we can all sleep well at night, or Michael Horowitz. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Horowitz has done good work. So I'm wondering what Christopher Wray's really up to when it comes to reforming this FISA process, which we know was at the heart of this whole Trump-Russia investigation.
And Christopher Wray, even though he's been there for a short time, he does need to answer that. He needs to make sure everything is presented. And files were not presented in a timely fashion anyway. There was an order a year ago that these files be turned over, and they're just now being released. It's a stall technique and tactic to get us past the next general election. And the Democrats will not call any of their committees together for an investigation because they know what it would show. And Trey Gowdy says, these agents and what they've done in carrying this out have destroyed the credibility, the history of the FBI.
Those letters stand for fidelity, bravery, and integrity. So I'm going to ask you and your viewers, which of those words come to mind when you think of Peter Strzok promising to stop candidate Trump, interested in the impeachment but not the interference? Which of those three words comes to mind when you hear Jim Comey say, we're going to see what we can get away with, or when you read notes about a pretextual defensive briefing? Which of those three words that's supposed to personify the FBI, which of those three words do you think about over the last 4 years when the world's premier law enforcement agency has been riddled with bias and incompetence? So Chris Wray,
yes.
Look, he
good
didn't
point.
Start the problems, but he's been there for 2 years. We need an FBI that we can trust.
Fidelity, bravery, integrity. Especially that word integrity. Completely destroyed by what these agents were doing. And it reflects poorly on the entire group of FBI agents and the agency. Republicans are demanding an interview with the pre-staff, and I hope they get it sooner than later. Stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness. One client at a time. Check it out. RedFitnessLounge.com. RedFitnessLounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, I said you was high.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and we're glad to welcome back on board from the Heritage Foundation an expert on civil rights and election laws, Hans von Spakovsky. Not this hour. I got ahead of myself, didn't I? Thank you, Quentin. Quentin said, no, wait a minute. No, not yet. Oh, that's right. I forgot something. I wanted to jump into that subject so fast. By the way, I also have something to tell you about what's coming at the end of the program today, and that is if you've been watching that Netflix special, Tiger King, if you haven't, you're one of the few that haven't. It's based on a real story, and now they're going to make a movie out of it. And it's an interesting decision on who will play Tiger King. That'll be coming up a little bit later. What I did want to deal with quickly is that the constant release of inmates across the nation because of coronavirus just continues. And you need to know who's being turned loose under the allegations and concerns that the virus is spreading in prison facilities. Here's a perfect example. Two men accused of raping among nearly 830 freed in this last month from Massachusetts prisons. They are accused in this some of the most recent cases, but one is certainly convicted. A 54-year-old child rapist, convicted rapist, being released. And then you got a 29-year-old accused of raping two teenage girls earlier this year, also released. They're being set free because they have decided to let these guys out. The one that's convicted, he repeatedly raped a 12-year-old boy convicted in 2018. The other arrested less than 2 months ago, charged with raping and assaulting two teenage girls. Feel safer out there, do you? Then, of course, we have the attitude of some courts in some areas that you don't need to worry about coronavirus. We're just not going to bother enforcing. We're going to come up with zero bail policy like they did in New York. Orange County, California has a zero bail policy in that state. A 24-year-old allegedly caught breaking into a vehicle trying to steal it. Police arrived. He tried to drive off with that, narcotics and other things. Arrested, but then quickly released to California's newest zero bail policy because it was all considered low-level felony and misdemeanor. That's what they passed in that state in early April. An hour after he's released, police get called after eyewitnesses see a man walking through the neighborhood with a box stealing items off their front porches. And when they arrive, they find this guy a second time. After his second arrest in a matter of hours, he's released again because of the zero bail policy. And that evening, there's a high-speed chase, and when it ends, it's the same guy again, this time stealing another vehicle. Third arrest, released, issued a citation. Criminals, you're free to roam about the state of California without any concern. And especially if you happen to be an illegal. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have Hans von Spakovsky about how some of these restrictions stack up against the Bill of Rights and imposing on your constitutional rights, in particular the First Amendment, freedom of worship. We'll break it down for you. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Benjamin Franklin stated, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Point made. Joining us, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation, an expert in civil rights, constitutional law. Hans, again, glad to have you on board, sir.
Larry, it's great to talk to you again.
I tell you what, I was looking at a piece that you wrote, an opinion piece for the Washington Examiner. The title alone is intriguing. Governors cannot suspend the First Amendment.
Yeah, it's very true, and we see that really going on all over the country of governors and other officials, including mayors, going too far in closing down businesses and telling people they have to stay home. You know, it's one thing to deal with the immediate medical crisis that we have, but it's quite different when they start infringing on people's rights, including, by the way, their the right to practice their religion freely. And the case, Larry, I was talking about was in Kansas, where, you know, the governor issued the same kind of shutdown order that we've been seeing all over the place, except that she basically said you couldn't have any meetings of more than 10 people unless you are, and she then listed 26 exceptions to her order, including all kinds of retail establishments, even bars and restaurants, malls. But she specifically said that churches were not among those accepted. So you could not have a church service of more than 10 people, even if the church said, listen, we will comply with all of the social distancing rules. So she was basically discriminating against religious institutions in the state.
And based on what was her rationale for distinguishing a church from a business?
She really did not have one. And it was very plain in the court case that she just couldn't justify why she had done that. And the result was that there was a lawsuit filed, fortunately, on behalf of two of the churches, who, by the way, the pastors faced criminal penalties if they violated her executive order. But fortunately, a federal judge, he held a hearing and the very next day issued an order saying that she could not enforce this against churches, that it was discriminatory, it violated their First Amendment right to practice their religion. The case was so clear that, like I said, it took him one day to issue his order against the governor.
Well, in introducing you, of course, I referred to that Ben Franklin quote, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. We've been doing that step by step in the midst of all of this. I do understand that what they did do, the Kansas governor and her team did try to justify it, citing a 1905 U.S. Supreme Court decision when they were mandating smallpox vaccinations and trying to say it's the same,
right,
and trying to show the that it has the same setting.
Yeah, but in fact, the judge said it's not the same because look, they were in the middle of a smallpox epidemic, and so the state passed a law ordering everybody to be vaccinated. It was a neutral law. It didn't discriminate against anybody. It didn't discriminate against people based on their religion. It basically said, look, everybody needed to do this. That's very different from the Kansas governor, Laura Kelly's order, in which she specifically was treating churches and synagogues and mosques differently than other businesses and other entities who were in the same position. So she was engaging in religious discrimination. That 1905 case really had no applicability. Although, look, that 1905 case, you know, did say, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, that in times of an emergency and like an epidemic, there are actions the government can take that they normally can't take, but they can't go too far. And in fact, listen, a week and a half ago, Attorney General William Barr sent a memo out to every single U.S. attorney in the country, all 93 of them, saying, I want you to be on the lookout for state or local government going too far and violating the rights of individual Americans, particularly when it comes to their First Amendment rights.
So they had a federal district judge in this case say, that's stupid, it's thrown out. Put it in another court, and a different attorney general's approach and attitude about all of this, what would be happening in the nation?
Well, they might get they could possibly get a bad judge. And that I think, is also happening in some places. Look, another example of this is that a couple of weeks ago, a church in Louisville, Kentucky, decided for Easter they would have a drive-through service.
Right.
So there was absolutely no risk of a coronavirus infection. It was a drive-through. People would be in their cars. And yet the mayor of Louisville, also a Democrat, just like the governor of Kansas, said that the churches, not only could they not do that, but if they tried to do it they would be fined and criminally prosecuted. And again, fortunately, there was a court action filed. A federal judge said, you can't do that.
You were referring to General Attorney General Barr and that notice, the memo on April the 27th, and it was entitled,
"That's right,
Balancing Public Safety with Preservation of Civil Rights." This has been a delicate balancing act every step of the way. I mean, as to what you need to shut down to protect the spread of the disease, and then if we've overdone it, but more importantly, how many of those restraints are going to stay in place if you didn't have some constitutional law? In other countries, a lot of those things are going to stay.
Right. So, right. Because particularly in countries that don't have constitutions, which, you know, that's the case in Canada. It's the case in the United Kingdom, too. And I got to say that that is an important look. We have a great constitution, but thank goodness we have the Bill of Rights and those first 10 amendments that were passed to prevent the government from doing the kinds of things that some local government officials are trying to do during this crisis.
Kansas City opened up today, and the Kansas City mayor, Lucas, had said that you can open up and listing all the businesses and churches and so forth if you abide by a 10-10-10 rule, like no more than 10. Yeah, if someone's going to be there more than 10 minutes, you got to take a name. And if you're going into your church, you must register that you are attending with your name and address at your church. Immediately, of course, conservative groups and a law firm stepping forward to help them, firing back saying, oh, no, you cannot force us to sign in to go to church.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think, again, that's going too far, and it's just not necessary in this situation dealing with this crisis. You know, it's one thing to find someone who's been infected with the COVID-19 virus and to make them tell you all the people they've been in contact with. That you can justify from a health reason. But to just require random registration with the government if you're going to attend church, again, that goes too far, and that is, to me, clearly a violation of the Constitution. In particular, the part of the First Amendment that says we can freely practice our religion.
So to counter the argument, what you just talked about of identifying someone and finding out who they've been in contact, I mean, we have our health departments all across the nation taking information on venereal disease cases and clients and so forth,
right,
things of this nature.
Right.
That's different than what we're going through here.
It is different because with what health departments are doing, they only do that when they have somebody who's been tested and has been found to be infected with a disease that can be spread. And in that situation, yeah, public health and public safety justifies saying that, look, you've got to provide us with the names of everyone you contacted and who you could potentially have infected. That is very different from what the mayor in Kansas City is trying to do.
One point I'm going back to, and again, that's Attorney General Barr in his memo encouraging that come forward if you've got any evidence of this. If we had had a William Holder, someone like that in office as Attorney General, I would see them siding with the governors and the mayors of making these decisions.
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely right. Holder showed a marked hostility to religious institutions throughout his time as the Attorney General. You know, I actually wrote about that in a book a book I published some years ago about Holder and how he misran or mismanaged the Justice Department. Politics was more important to him than the administration of justice in an impartial manner.
All right. Hans, as always, we appreciate you taking time to join us, sir.
Well, it was always good. It's always good to talk to you, even when I'm doing it remotely from home like so many other folks.
Well, we do appreciate it. Thanks, Hans, very much. Hans von Schmatkowski from the Heritage Foundation, expert in constitutional law. Always glad to have him on board. So as I mentioned earlier, they're going to make a movie out of the Tiger King TV series on Netflix, I think it is. Wait till you hear who they're picking to portray Tiger King. I think it's a perfect fit. That story more still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So how would you like a Lamborghini? No, it's not a, if you don't know what it is, we got a problem to begin with. It's not a pasta. Lamborghini has nothing to do with pasta. It's a car. Very, very nice. Very sporty. A very expensive car. If you have to ask, it's one of those, if you have to ask how much it is, you don't want to buy it. Well, of course, it's a dream of some to have a car like that. And in fact, there was a driver that was going to leave from Utah to go to California to buy one. Had his cash with him. He had the money. And he was going to have to go do it because no one else was going to buy him one. So he had to give him credit for having some initiative. They won't buy it, I'll go buy it. So he's driving down Interstate 15 in Utah, picking his way to California, but not driving very effectively, a little erratic. And police kind of took note of that. They thought, what have we got going on here? The guy may be a little intoxicated. They pull the car over, and there's the driver. They ask, what are you doing? I'm going to California to buy a Lamborghini. Oh, really? Yes. And why? Because I just have an argument with my mom. She won't buy me one, so I'm going to go buy one. And you got the money to buy it? And he said, yeah. I pulled out his wallet. And there in his wallet, $3. $3. Going to California, go buy a Lamborghini with $3. Now, maybe some would say, well, he thought it was pasta. No, no, he knows it's a car. He wants to have a car like that. He said, I want that car. Mama won't buy it. Oh, yeah. The kid is a little underage for driving anyway. And if he had money to buy a Lamborghini, there'd be another question, but he doesn't. $3 is not going to do it. And when it comes to driving, he probably, even if he got it, going to have to wait a little longer. Police identified the kid to some extent. One thing in particular they gave was his age. The kid that decided to leave home, get in the car, and drive from Utah to California to buy a Lamborghini with the $3 he had because mama wouldn't buy him one is 5 years old. 5 years old. Got in the car, started driving it, got up on the freeway, he knew where he was going, and he had a plan in mind. Boy, there's going to be some time out there, don't you imagine? But you know what? The conclusion of that story in the future will be years in the future, maybe, what are we talking about, 11-plus years, he'd be old enough to drive. Somehow or another, he'll have the money, and he'll go buy that Lamborghini. We'll see. All right, so if you've seen the Tiger King TV series on Netflix, it's based off of an article that was published in Texas Monthly, Joe Exotic, A Dark Journey into the World of a Man Gone Wild. Now, the Joe Exotic guy has a long, scribbly name, but he just wants to be known as Tiger King. He's an exotic zookeeper in Oklahoma, and he began to set up this compound to have tigers and lions and so forth. And he got into a hassle with another lion obtainer, I should say, keeper, who she'd looked at herself as someone trying to save lions and tigers. And she wanted his zoo to be shut down. And they began to have battles back and forth. And her husband, that was apparently pretty rich, that gave the money for her to have her little exotic keeping of lions and tigers just to save them, they said, suddenly disappeared. Some were thinking he was murdered. And Tiger King was saying, I think she did it. I think she fed him to the lions she has. And there's some odd characters in the Tiger King series. I mean, some odd people. You see it happen and you keep thinking, oh my God, it really can't go another step. Can't go beyond this, can it? So now they're going to make a movie for Netflix. Again, I think it's going to be for Netflix. Let's see here. They're still working on it. They're going to come out with it. It's going to be spun out pretty soon. They're going to take it from Netflix. Netflix will probably be involved to some extent. Here we go. Imagine TV Studios and CBS TV Studios coming together for it. And they picked an actor who has never done a television program. Nothing made strictly for TV. He's done movies that have been converted, but he's going to be perfect. Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage, in my view, yep, that's the guy to play Tiger King. No doubt about it. I can't wait to see that movie. Tiger King with Nicolas Cage. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We will, of course, be back tomorrow. Let your family and friends know. Same time, same station. I appreciate it. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.